Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Zechariah, Chapter 5, Perek Hei. Our learning is dedicated to Chayalei Tzva Haganah Yisrael, to our brave soldiers, for their success and safety, for the return of all of the hostages, and for the healing of the wounded in this war in Gaza. Here we are in Sefer Zechariah, and we are in the middle of the Nevuot HaMar'ot, the prophecies of the images where Zechariah says, Ra'iti, I saw. We've already seen, number one, red, maroon, and white horsemen or horses. We've seen horns or battering rams and craftsmen to dismantle them. We've seen a man with a yardstick to measure Jerusalem. We've seen the high priest, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, have his dirty clothes exchanged for clean clothes. And we've seen the amazing golden menorah and the address to Zerubbabel. All of these could be real in some way, some manner or form. They're not bizarre, psychedelic, magical images. But at this point, we're going to see these nevuot get very, very strange and very, very a little weird, psychedelic. What do we have here? Va'ashuv ve'esa ve'enai ve'erav hinei megila afa. I looked up and I saw a flying scroll. Va'yomer elai, and the angel says to me, ma ata roeh? What do you see? Va'yomer ani roeh megila afa. I see a flying scroll. Orka esrim ba'ama v'rochba eser ba'ama. It is 20 amot long and 10 amot wide. What are these dimensions, I will say? They are the dimensions of the Mishkan, maybe. Maybe the dimension of the hall in front of the temple, the anteroom of the temple. Whichever way. Vayomer elai, zot ha'alah. This is the curse. Hayotzeit al panei kol ha'aretz. Ki kol ha'gonev mizeh kamoha nika, v'chol ha'nishba mizeh kamoha nika. Anybody who has stolen has gone unpunished. Anybody who has sworn falsely has gone unpunished. This scroll is going to go forth, and it's going to go to the house of the thief. And those who swear falsely in my name, and it will lodge itself in their house, and it will consume them, even the timber, even the stone. Flying scroll which gives retribution, a scroll of an Allah, of a curse. What is happening here? Well, let's just say that frequently a scroll and a curse seem to go together. If you remember the story of the Sota, the adulterous woman, the disloyal woman, the Kohen takes a scroll and he writes text on it and he dissolves it into the water and creates the Mayim HaMa'arim, the cursed waters. But it says, V'katav et ha'alot ha'ele, he writes these curses. U'macha al mei ha'marim. Interestingly, you've got a scroll, you've got alot, curses, or Allah, and macha, and a sense of dissolving, or here destruction, etc., etc. And what will happen to the woman is, if she is guilty, this water will sort of like check her out. And if she's guilty, she will suffer childlessness, she won't be able to have children, she will have v'nafla yurecha, latzpot beten v'lampil yarech, which I think means her reproductive system. She has been, if you want, promiscuous in that part of her body, and now it will malfunction. The same connection between Allah and destruction and scroll comes in Parshat Nitzavim as well, where it says that there are people who will say, V'hitbarich b'lvavo lemor shalom yeli. There will be evil people who think that everything's fine. And it says, V'ravtza bo kol ha'alach k'tuva b'sefer hazeh, U'macha Hashem et shemo mitachad ha'shamayim. And God will bring all of the curse which is written in this scroll, in this book, and wipe out his name from under the heavens, so much so that the land will get destroyed. Gofrit v'amelech sreifa kol ha'tzar, lo tizara v'lo tzatzmiach, kama pechat Sodom v'Amorah. The land will become like Sodom and Amorah. In other words, this concept of a scroll with which is written curses, A scroll which finds the people who are guilty is a theme we've already seen in Sefer Bamidbar and Sefer Devarim in the Torah. And here Zechariah is seeing a scroll which is going to go and purge the nation of people who are misbehaving. If this wasn't strange enough, let's look at the next image. The angel who's talking with me says, go look and see what's coming next. And what does he see? What is it? Here you see a tub, a container, approaching. And zot einam b'chol ha'aretz. This has its eye over the whole land. And what does he see? He sees kikar oferet niseit v'zot isha achat yoshevet b'toch heifa. He sees this tub, and he sees a lead lid on the tub, and inside is a female figure, a woman. And he says, zot harisha. This is wickedness. V'yishlech ota al toch heifa. He throws her into the pot, and puts the lead lid on the top, and then he sees two women with wings, and they fly off, they carry this tub between heaven and earth, and he says, where are they taking the tub? And the answer is, Be'eret Shinar. They're going to the land of Shinar, the land of Bavel, V'uchan v'nicha sham al mechunata, and go and set it down there on its base. What is happening? This is almost like something radioactive. It needs to be in a lead cauldron. Suddenly this witch, a woman who represents evil personified, is taken out by another two women who are going to fly it off to Bavel. Are they saying that the evil is in the kingdom of Bavel? Does this take us back to Shinar? Shinar is the story of Migdal Bavel. Very mysterious. But somehow, both of these prophecies seem to be saying something interesting. If in chapter 2 we saw the idea that the Churban was being dismantled, those battering rams, if we asked the question, why is the world at peace and Jerusalem isn't? If we said, measure Jerusalem, no, you can't measure Jerusalem, it's going to be so large. We spoke about, if you want, the destruction of Jerusalem receding and now Jerusalem achieving blessing. Then we saw the two leaders. We saw the high priest who gets his clean clothes and Zerubbabel, who is told, lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, ki im baruch hi amar Hashem. But now we're saying something further, that in order to move ahead, and in order to make a success of this building of the temple, we need to remove evil from the land. Evil is personified by this woman, and evil is, if you want, these people who steal, people who are dishonest, who swear falsely in God's name, these needs to be purged. There's the Aseh Tov, but there's also the Sor Meira. You can try and do good, but you've also got to remove the problematic sides of society. And that's what Zechariah seems to be saying here in these strange and bizarre images in chapter 5. If I may just take this one stage further, the rabbis saw this as a major moment, a sea change, a quantum shift in state of things. You know, there's something very bizarre throughout the first temple period. The Jewish people struggle mightily with idolatry. They're always attracted to the Baal and the Asherah and to idolatry. And when you read throughout the whole history of Second Temple, we have our problems. When you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, they have problems with intermarriage. They have problems with keeping Shabbat. They have problems with sustaining the temple. Later on, we have lots of other problems. But one problem we don't have, and that problem is an attraction to idolatry. In Second Temple, we do not see an attraction to idolatry. Where did it go? Where did that attraction go? And the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samachtet, page 69, says that, in fact, the rabbis asked that the Yetzihara, that the attraction to idolatry, disappear. Right, they sat fasting, I'm reading in translation, just for shortness of time. They sat fasting for 3 days and three nights. And the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer Hara, the attraction to Avodah Zarah, was handed over to them. And where did it come from? It came out of the Holy and Holies as a fiery lion cub. And at this moment, the prophet said to Israel, Zot Harishah, quoting from our chapter, this is the wickedness. They grabbed a hold of it, and one of its hairs fell out, and it raised its voice, and its sound carried for 400 parasangs, 400 parasah by 400 parasah. And they said, what should we do with this Avodah Zarah? Perhaps, maybe God will have mercy from heaven. We've got it. Maybe we should kill it. And what did the prophet say to them? Cast it into a pot of lead and close its opening with lead, for lead muffles the sound as it is written. And now the Gemara quotes our chapter as it says, Vayomer zot harisha, vayashlich ota al toch haifa, vayashlich ota even al faret al piha. Here, this isn't just some amorphous evil. The rabbi somehow saw this configuration of a woman being thrown into a lead cauldron as almost a vision of Hashem somehow giving the gift to the Jewish people, that the attraction that had distracted them throughout the first temple period, the magnetic attraction to idolatry, was mysteriously removed from society, and it was removed from the Jewish people, and from now on it would attract them no more. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.